number 12,562, David Bauer, seeks variances from the side yard and rear yard setback requirements for proposed structure. Section 115-25, 115-183, and 115-185 of the Sussex County zoning code. The property is located on the southwest side of Mulberry Knoll Road, approximately 0.25 mile northwest of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. The 911 address is 19490 Mulberry Knoll Road, Lewis. Zoning district is AR1, tax parcel is District 334, map 12, parcel 16.02. Applicant is requesting a 10-foot variance from the 15-foot side yard setback requirement and a 10-foot variance from the 20-foot rear yard setback requirement for proposed structure. We have one letter of support, zero letter of opposition, and one mailer.
Is the applicant present? If you would, please come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening. State your name and address for the record.
David Bauer, 19 Highland Avenue, from Delaware, 185.
And do you swear or affirm testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for hearing my request tonight. My name is David Bauer. I'm the homeowner of the subject property at 19490 Mulberry Knoll Road. I'm here to request a reduced side and rear yard setback for construction of a pole barn. Dimensions are, I'm expecting it to be 30 by 32. That's not set in concrete yet. So to start off, I guess I'll just cover these criteria for variance, the uniqueness of the property. I'd like to state that I think current code requires that the road frontage for property be 150 feet. Mine is 100 feet wide, quite narrow. Secondly, I have a septic field, which is essentially centered in my backyard, probably close to where the zero is on the 16.2, I guess. And again, currently, the house, as I now own it, is 19 feet, 9 inches from the property line between me and my neighbor. So I have a available space to get past the structure of 19 feet, 9 inches, right where that arrow is. I'm proposing that the pole barn be placed in the bottom.
Essentially here.
Yes. Two, cannot otherwise be developed. The uniqueness of the property's constraints creates a situation of potential damage as well as safety concerns in accessing that pole barn. It's going to be containing a vehicle, an RV. And so should I place it more in line with the existing setbacks, it would be kind of like this. What I'm trying to avoid, is to avoid this dogleg entrance of a 28-foot RV into where the pole barn would sit without variance granted. A granted variance would allow the RV to have a more direct shot backing into there. Not created by the applicant. Well, location of the existing lot improvements were as I bought the house. It was built in 2000. It's 21 years old by the previous owner. four, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. First of all, I guess the zoning is AR1, so it's really very minimal impact as far as residences go. I have two residences to my left on the road frontage, and I have a letter of approval from both of those tenants, not just one. The reason I'm building the RV building is so that, you know, I don't have to have a motorhome sitting in the driveway. I think that's an improvement, or that will impact less the neighborhood to have it in a contained building and not out on the park street.
My only other option would be to park it right here.
Again, as I said, my closest two neighbors have approved. They have no qualms about it whatsoever. They both have sheds as well of their own. You can't actually see Mr. Gargle. Oh, there it is. Yeah, down in his corner, he has one. Yes, that's his. And then droning right beside it is Lisa's shed. So they both have sheds already in their neighborhoods. I have nothing in my backyard. So this will be all new. Again, the other neighbors to me is the Love Creek Elementary School, which is directly behind me. Obviously, they're huge, and property directly behind me that they own is their recreational fields. Yep, that great big grass area is the school's. They really don't use that grassy area. Where the school is, their play area is essentially where the grass is worn brown. You can see from playing. The grass directly behind me is just a huge open field that they own, but they don't really use. And then the other neighbor is the new state police station, which is
to my right,
so I can't see where my pole barn building would create any degradation to the neighborhood. Just to follow up and make sure I didn't miss anything, I'd just like to say, again, to the existing driveway location and the septic field that I currently have in my center of my backyard, I'm looking to put the pole barn closer to that rear right-hand corner of my building, of the property. I have several small grandchildren and nieces and nephews, pets. They all enjoy running in my backyard. I'd like to provide as large an area as possible, maintain as large an area as possible of a play area in my yard. And I obviously would like to keep the proposed structure as far away from the existing septic field as possible. It's 21 years old. I don't have any problems with it now, but again, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. My property is bordered to the northwest and southwest by Cape Henlopen School District and by the state of Delaware's property, consisting of an elementary school and a police station. These two large commercial institutions, when this farmland was developed years ago, they were required to provide our residential properties with significant tree screening for their uses. They have done that. So there was a line of trees between my property and the police station, and then there's also a line of trees at the rear of my property that they put in. And my property has a line of trees between myself and Mr. McGargle, my neighbor. And those trees will be, I'm going to retain all those trees. There's only one tree that needs to be removed to put my pole barn in, and it's one of the smaller trees. And it's about 5 feet off the property line. That's it. Happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions?
Sir, how long have you owned the property?
It's been my ownership for about 2 years now. I inherited, my mother passed away.
Going to be able to drive down the side of that property and into that pole barn?
Well, I have a 12-foot wide gate. Back, the backyard is fenced in already, and on that side of the property is a 12-foot wide gate, and there'll be just a slight offset into the door. The pole barn will have two overhead doors. Obviously, the motorhome is going to try to go into the closest one, you know, straight in. Very slight dog leg. I actually have an illustration of how extreme the dog leg would be if I was denied the variance, and it's at some point in time I'm afraid I'd be hitting the motorhome on the corner of the sunroom. That is what it looks like with the variance declined. Pole barn's down in the lower right hand. Lower right hand corner for you guys.
Understood.
You'll need to submit that for the record. This is not what, this is what's existing.
I understand about that. Because you've shown that to the board, it has to be submitted.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Whenever you're done, you don't have to give it right now.
I have extras. Okay, then I won't. I have already submitted this one, which kind of like shows where it would be.
Yeah, I think we have that.
All right. Then I'm.
Any other questions? Mr. Sharp?
How tall is this thing going to be?
The doors need to be 12 foot tall for the RV to fit in, so I guess it's going to be 14 foot.
And I presume a smaller one would not work for your purposes?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to try to get a small one and be disappointed. I'm not getting giant ones. 28 foot is, it's not a diesel pusher, 42 footer. It's only 28 feet long.
And explain to me again the reason why you can't meet the rear yard setback. Is that too close to the house?
That and the combination of the combination of two, well, I said there'll still be a little bit of a dog leg, but by moving it back further also allows me to have more distance for the front bumper of the vehicle to pass the sunroom deck before the bumper starts to need to enter the building. In other words, in the combination of two is what gives me the advantage of getting in there safely.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Are you going to have somebody watching you back that thing in there?
At least for a few tries, anyway, until I gain some confidence.
Maybe he could use an aerial director.
Oh, well, there's backup cameras. Backup cameras.
Any further questions? Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition of this application? Operator?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you. there are no further questions, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12562 for Mr. Bauer. The requested variance is pending a final written decision based on the record made during the public hearing. For the following reasons, the property is unique to due to its narrowness, and the exceptional practical difficulty is due to such conditions. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The variances will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and it represents the minimum variances necessary to afford relief.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Corman?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for my reasons.
And aye too for the reasons. So with a vote of 4-0, case number 12562 has been approved.
Good evening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.
Any additional business?
I believe Mr. Corman had mentioned perhaps putting meeting times back on the agenda.
I'm okay to go back to 6 o'clock if anybody else would like to. We need to talk about it with Mr. Hastings. Since Mr. Workman's no longer with us, I'm willing to make that work for staff.
Daylight savings.
Yeah.
Second meeting in October, we revert back to 6 p.m. So if the board wishes to do that sooner, we'll put that on agenda so we can discuss that. But,
and also, maybe we have an 8 or 9 on an agenda a night, just a thought. That's up to the chairman, but makes a long night.
You're saying not to have 8 or 9?
Yeah, it's around, yeah.
How's the backlog? Is it backlog right now? Is that why we're...
We're in July.
We're in July, right?
Yeah, we're in July. We're scheduling the 12th of July right now.
And each one of those meetings is very similar to the caseload we'd have tonight?
Yeah.
When I came on a couple of years ago, there was always 8 applications per meeting. And then with COVID, we were really went down low, and we were trying to build it back up to the 8 cases a night. That gives a two-month waiting list for applicants, roughly.
We used to do 15.
Shoo, we have to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Everyone seems to have a 6-month backlog.
Correct.
With close to that
month. Yeah.
It was just an idea.
And a reminder, I'm going to be late on June the 7th. We tabled a case tonight under to come back on June the 7th. I don't know if Mr. Hastings can participate.
What we could do, Dr. Carson, we could move that to the end of the agenda. And that way, we've done old business at the end of the agenda before.
So. I think we're going to be limited on, can Mr. Hastings participate?
He could participate if he reviewed the record and okay. Listened to the meeting. But if you're not going to be here,
I will be here. I will be here late.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, we could just put that at the end of the agenda.
But if agenda. So, what time does our next meeting start?
6:30.
Okay. My event starts at 7. I'm hoping to be here 8 o'clock. I mean, is. We've got a graduation, and then I'll be scooting across the county from there to here.
Shoo.
Yeah, helicopter?
No. I mean, the other side of the circle. So, and the other thing, comment, and we've come across this. I struggle with this, and it's I don't know what the options are. I struggle with making decisions on these cases without a site plan. And we had a couple tonight, we seem to have a couple each where we have a piece of property and a person is coming and presenting, I intend to build the following. And we either grant or deny the variance based upon that, which is what we're supposed to do. I'm a lot more comfortable if I've got at least a professionally prepared schematic that shows where a septic system might be going or where the envelope might be. The only reason I bring that up is that I'm concerned about, I'm not sure how I feel in terms of voting for that unless I saw a site plan. And I don't know if we can require it. I don't know those other matters. And I want to be cognizant of the expense to the applicant. And so I'm betwixt and between here. So I'm just making that statement.
I agree.
I like it a lot better when I see a stamp and a dotted line representing.
My suggestion there, and I can see the point there. And I know that when we've had some that have come up for advertising purposes, I know that I'll often look at them and go, should we get a new site plan? Often staff will contact the applicant and say, can you get us one? And sometimes we push things back for that while we're waiting for that. I know that there was one this evening where we had that come up and the applicant didn't attempt to get it from what I gathered. But it could be one of those ones where if you have something where there's a drawing and it's, somebody took a survey and drew on it, you know, that's probably going to be accurate. That you could, it's up to you all, and if you certainly wanted more, you could always vote to leave the record open for that to be submitted. We try to catch those on the front end, and I know staff's pretty vigilant about, hey, you really ought to have this, it's complete the record. So,
and I appreciate that, and I appreciate that work. Again, I'm cognizant about how much dollars have to come out of the applicant's pocket in order to get that decision, and but it's counterintuitive to me to make a blanket decision on a variance without looking at a site plan. Just making that as a comment.
And we have for years, there were applications with no surveys, and it got to the point where finally, I think, and this is before my time, that the county started requiring that there be something provided, because an illustration was one, it was helpful to the board, but it also helped with looking at these from a historical perspective. And so your points, I think on from staff's end, I think I can speak for staff, it's certainly helpful on our end, but there is that, as you mentioned, the balancing of kind of cost and even time for some of these applicants too, because I don't know how quickly some of these can turn around.
People get concerned if it'll be denied and they've spent a lot of money. And,
sure.
You know, we try to explain it all, but get it to scale at least. But
at that point, you're almost upgrading an idea.
Right.
Nothing concrete.
Well, I mean, that's what a proposal is.
Right. And some people just don't want to do that.
It's certainly up to the board whether you're comfortable with what documentation that you have. So,
I mean, with the cases that we have, these eight a night, you know, I feel like in the back of my head, I'm less hesitant to table anything or bring anything back to make the case log what it is. But I agree with him 100%. Some of these I look at and I'm just like,
well, perhaps you want something. We can try to coordinate with staff perhaps to look at the caseload a little bit as well. Because I don't think that the board should ever be concerned about, I've got to vote on something if you're not comfortable.
No, that's not what I was saying either. It's just like there's a lot of, you know, you look at the cases in Satan, you're like, it's a lot. Especially if, like, you get one or two, like, a night that go a little bit longer, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It only takes one to make the night go wrong.
Oh, yes. And it can come out of nowhere.
It does. And that's what happens. So.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
No.
Aye.